Okay, Maxie.
So I'll piggyback on that to begin. First and foremost, I've never seen any goal for station growth in any station I've ever been involved in to be more than 10% in a year. I think to have a 200 or 100% increase is extremely ambitious. And I, unless you're starting with nothing, which maybe you are arguing, I just don't think that's a realistic goal. But I wanted to offer this as a suggestion. First of all, that doubling of the cum is very random sounding, especially when you talk about doubling and doubling it again. The years that you documented where the numbers were so high, we've gone through major transformation in media, consumption, audience use, et cetera. All of radio consumption is dramatically down from that period. And so I just think the doubling is random, and I think it's overly ambitious. However, I do think there's some things that can be tangibly done, written into this motion, that can get us to work towards improving QM. Again, I think this should be a PD function, not a GM. The program director should be required to conduct market analysis. In other words, analyze the media industry, the radio industry, the news industry, to understand how we fit in the context of the market. Secondly, define a community engagement strategy.
Yeah.
How can you actually get out and involve and engage community that could be part of the progressive communities in our mapping, if you will, in our geographic coverage area. Third, content development strategies are crucial. We talked about multimedia, platform agnostic, and digital, and all these things. That's vital. But again, it gets to, you know, how do we develop programming, whether it's something as simple as clocks, using clocks, to creating program architecture that is more in line with where people are in terms of their media consumption. And then finally, developing affinity and viral marketing campaigns towards targeting and growing audience. So there's really four things I've outlined here. I won't repeat them. But the point being that there's a process that program directors, I think, specifically at Pacifica, can go through that will lead towards growth, which I know is the end game here. I just think that the number, the doubling is way too ambitious, but we should say 10%. I think that's not unreasonable. And I think if we put a strategy in place and say that what we're requiring through this motion is that program directors implement a strategy, and we can include these four areas or something else, but that we implement strategy to get an increase in QM. And I wanted to address the issue about the donor that was brought up at the very beginning. 90% of our listeners do not contribute. But what is proven through data and research is that listenership does beget membership. That's how membership grows. And so if we can increase audience by 10%, we should be able to, in 3 years, increase donor support. The real value in donors is cultivating them, the ones you get, to become, to increase their donation. So cultivation is the process that means the most in that area.
Thank you. Ken?
Yeah, I concur with most. The last speaker was Maxie Jackson, and I agree with most everything he was saying. Oh, by the way, Jim, you weren't suggesting in any regard that we should promote another invasion of Iraq to get our tunes up, were you? That was a joke, folks. That was a joke.
We might
please, don't take it seriously.
We might have a war response, but anyway, go on.
Okay, so there is one glaring fact that seems to be overlooked, and I don't know why. I don't have a problem looking in the mirror and saying I have to lose some weight, and I don't know how to do it because I haven't. Okay, or I don't know how to fix the plumbing. It's time to call a professional. I started with a broken sink. Now there's no water in any bathroom in the house. So the thing is, majority of the stations have had declining listenership for 10 years. The Pacifica stations in this city, There are other nonprofit stations, NPR, it's true, but they have not had declining, they have had increasing listenership. So it isn't just an environmental issue of everybody's just watching YouTube or they're not listening to the radio or whatever. There are environmental issues, you know, major social movements that affect our activities, that's true. But what I'm trying to say is, I'm not sure, I don't have the motion in front of me right now. If you're certainly, if you're asking the programmers to come up with a plan to improve their listenership, that's a fool's errand. These are, this is for the most part, not all programmers, but for the most part, you're asking a person who's riding a bicycle to do, to solve a quantum equation. We need professionals who look at the industry. There's lots of advice and lots of examples available and lots of good ideas, and you try to get somebody with a track record who knows how to get audience. And hopefully that's what we required with our new ED. And I think we have to give faith in that, not ask for everybody to get together and let's have a big open think tank meeting and everybody's going to come up with their ideas about what we should do to get more listeners. That's not going to work because it hasn't worked. These programs have had the air without any considerations about whether it was successful. They had a long runway, and they could always say, well, but you didn't spend $500,000 promoting my show. That's not the issue. The issue is if they've had the time and opportunity and without any assistance haven't managed to increase their audience, they don't know how to do it, and there's no point in asking them how. They need guidance from outside, and if then the guidance doesn't happen, you need new programmers. That's the bottom line. You need new programmers, but the programmers you have, the audience is disenchanted with them and not interested in listening. Or the audience that was enchanted with them has moved on in one form or another.
Okay,
we need to support them.
Thank you.
So that's my issue.
All right. Well, did I hear another voice?
No, I'm surprising of the time factor.
Oh, time.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right,
Okay,
I'd like to
Okay, then we'll go ahead.
Yeah.
Short, please.
You know, yes. Well, I just look at the stats at PAI that I've looked at for many years now, since 1990, and particularly the stats for the morning drive and afternoon drive. And asking to have it doubled by 100% when you have, according to the stats, like 500 people listening or less than 1,000 people listening, to me is not unreasonable. So those are kind of the things back in my mind. Now, obviously, the retort along the lines of what Ken just said is that people will say, well, wait a minute, you guys haven't had an environment where training has occurred, where equipment has been ample for production, where evaluations have occurred, meetings haven't occurred for years, and they're right. They're totally right. And, of course, the other issues lead to the constant fund drives, which I believe are caused by, you know, the lack of listenership that can donate to the station. You know, that's the reason why these incessant drives. But I do think that when you have such low cumes, I mean, really, like sometimes I saw numbers for August that were 50,000 for 1 week, which I sort of assume was due to the summer vacations or others. I mean, to actually say to increase it to 150,000 or 200,000, because BAI usually would operate with cumes of about 200, 250,000 for the past 20 years, and then it would sort of barely crawl along. Well, I just, you know, I just think that we have to sort of say, hey, you know, we got to really increase this, and it's unacceptable to have, you know, less than 1,000 or 500 people listening per hour in morning and afternoon drive. That, to me, is absurd. That has to change, and those numbers have to be multiplied 3 or 4 times or 5 times.
No.
So, you know,
okay.
From all that.
Okay. So we will decide on what to do with this motion. There have been a number of suggestions in terms of the percentage point, as well as focusing this responsibility to the program director. And also, I believe Maxie said that we have to provide them with some kind of way to do this so that people will actually know how to work on improving the TMs. My sense is that this needs to be beefed up a little bit. So would you be willing, Jim, to allow that to happen on this motion, or do you want to bring it to a vote as it is, or does someone want to put forth a motion to change what's here?
No problem. I'll rewrite it a little bit.
You'll rewrite it?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So can we move that to the next meeting?
Fine.
Okay. Maxie, would you be able to, you said that you had some content development strategy that we might be able to include in this motion. Could you send something to Jim?
Yeah, actually, I'm going to send Jim all my notes. I took notes on every one of his motions.
Okay.
In support of what he's putting forth here. So I'll share those with Jim. I plan to do it, and that way he can absorb what he likes and what is consistent with this conversation tonight.
Excellent. Thank you. Next is number 7, hybridization, social media integration. Go ahead, Jim.
All right. Whereas all the Pacifica stations have varying levels of integration into existing social media platforms, and whereas the goal is to have each show...
Okay, can someone please mute? Please mute if you're in a public area. Go ahead.
All right. And the goal is to have each show integrate social media into its on-air delivery and process of communication with its audience in order to build the show's individual footprint. And whereas all shows will need to have dedicated producers who are assigned to the task of integrating digital media into the analog shows, but it provides a means to have an ongoing broadcast presence beyond simply the allocation of time on a weekly analog schedule. Be it resolved, it will be the policy of the foundation that all analog radio shows that currently are on the air and all future ones going forward, we required by March 2019 to demonstrate their integration into their on-air broadcasts of Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Google Live, blogs, or any combination of social media that allows them to enhance their interaction with their listening audience. All managers and programmers will be evaluated as to their implementation of these policies. The progress of this will be reported in quarterly reports, which will start in March 2019. These will be submitted to the PNBED and PNB Program Committee. The implementation of this will start immediately and will be updated in March 2019 as to its progress and then quarterly from that date on. Okay. First of all, we are way, way, way behind the eight ball on this. This should have been done about 10 years ago. And in Europe it's done. Throughout the United States it's done. That people use different kinds of social media to reinforce their analog radio shows or diversify them. We know that when one of the people who was presenting the public service operating agreement, one of the vendors, Kenny Freeman out there, WFMU or in Jersey, his whole audience engine thing was essentially based on integrating social media into an internet radio station. Yeah. So I sort of look on this as a no-brainer, that I'm not asking for them all to, like, you know, they should use the different forms of Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Google Live, blogs, or anything they like that would allow them to be best tactically used. But I personally think this kind of policy should have been implemented years ago. And on this particular motion, I think we're long overdue to get this ball rolling.
Okay, anyone for the stack? I'm going to put myself on the stack. Anyone else?
Max on the stack as well.
Okay. Okay. I just wanted to say that this is it's a good idea. I think there may be some problems with regard to music, putting music on different platforms in that way. Depending on the platform, it would be taken down for copyright reasons. So that's something to look into. And the other thing is the capacity of the radio station to be able to actually do this. At WBAI, we're actually broadcasting over the internet. So I'm not sure about bandwidth issues, but I would think that that would have to be looked into. Okay, Maxine?
Okay. I'm actually I'm going to be consistent with what you said. I'm more concerned with capacity here. So my comments will be relegated to that. I think one of the constant narratives I'm going to have with Jim's motions is trying to scale back, if you will, on the sort of painting with a broad brush approach that I feel a lot of what Jim is pushing here in various motions. This is another one of those where I think you isolate this activity to particular programs until the station develops the workflow and the rhythm to integrate these concepts effectively. We barely do radio well. I can't even imagine social media being done well because so many of our guests, I mean, our hosts, it's foreign to them how to use it effectively and to do it consistently enough to aggregate audience. So what I would propose is something that is delayed in its implementation a bit here to FY20. So we're talking, you know, October of next year. All Pacifica stations should work towards hiring a digital media producer. To me, if you start with that, hiring someone whose focus on the stats is to create digital content out of select shows on the station, you begin to develop the rhythm, the approach, and even your style in terms of what your social media looks like. Because every station that does this well, their social media has a certain characteristic or style to it. So it's much more sophisticated than just saying, hey, John Wilson over there doing a show on this, do a Facebook post every time you do your show. It's a much more coordinated affair that needs to take place. It needs to be much more structured. It needs to be something that's sort of organic in the program architecture. And for that to happen, I think we need to require the stations to plan for FY20 to hire digital managing producers.
Okay. Anyone else for the stack?
Anissa for the stack.
Okay, go ahead, Anissa.
Well, I think we definitely, you know, should integrate broadcast and as well as any other form of media with us because, and I will say this because California, Washington, and New York, y'all have more of a deaf population than we do. But the only problem is that the FCC has a device. We can caption a television. You can caption a movie projector. We have not been able to caption a radio. If we get a chance, I mean, if it was possible to have a radio device that was captioned, you know, I'd say all for it because we get a higher audience when we can include the deaf community. But that hasn't, I mean, that's not available to us yet.
Okay. You mean in different languages?
Well, I was going to say, the capacity to have to caption radio. I mean, that technology is not available to us yet. You can't caption the radio. I mean,
can't do the stack.
Caption a movie, you can't caption.
Okay. Ken?
That sounds like a side point. We can capture radio. I have friends that are doing it. Our archives department does it and so forth. So the radio can be captured. But in any event...
Caption.
What was the word? I'm sorry. I didn't understand that.
Caption.
Oh, captioned radio. I see. Well, yeah, that's okay. What do you present? Who do you, where do you present the captions on a video? Captions are read visually. So I don't understand.
Right, because there's a tube in the device.
Okay, well, I would point that on YouTube. A lot of people start with a podcast. And they put up a lot of different pictures or just a picture of the guy who's talking. And then you can get captions automatically by YouTube, does it on the fly. So a lot of people are starting with just audio and putting it on video platforms. But what I wanted to say was I agree with Maxie, except for this fact. We are currently have various programs, at least at KPFK, that have a digital presence, a footprint on the Internet. I could name the shows, but there's four or five of them. And what we should first do prior to encouraging other people to get on the Internet is try to get a person responsible for monitoring what these programs are doing on the Internet, because there are lots of FCC regulations and there's lots of questions about our position with the public via the Internet and so forth. So I would say the first thing is to get assign an individual, and it might be too difficult for the program director to take this on, although I think the one we have at KPFK will consider it within his scope to evaluate the current Internet presence of programs at the station at this point in time. What are they doing? Do they have Twitter accounts? Are they on YouTube? Are they on? Are they already involved in other podcast engines? Or have they joined other podcast networks that exist? You know, a little, I can't think of the one. There's one up in Berkeley, in Oakland area. But there's various ones all around the country, like a little network of podcasts. And so I don't know what they're doing with the content, because we haven't policed programmers' distribution of the content that they create at the stations. People can do what they want with it. They put it on their own channels. They put it on other people's channels and so forth. And some of our programs, at least, are being broadcast on a thing called Free TV or Radio Free This or That or Progressive Radio in New York, which is an Internet radio program. So if we got somebody to take charge either at a station or national level to survey what our current exposure or presence is on the Internet, that's step one, rather than encouraging everybody to wildcat, start putting stuff on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Go ahead, just get out there. I don't care what happens, go for it. I don't think that's a responsible thing, because it could be positive and negative consequences to it. So I think the first thing is to survey what the existing scene is. It's not known what it is. And then, like, was brought up by, I think, by Kathy or somebody, there's always copyright issues, ownership issues, FCC regulations. And now, these days, there's a tremendous amount of a field that you could call hypersensitivity or whatever, that if you say certain things, you may get a major reaction from the media or from other organizations and so forth. So I think the first step is to survey and analyze and document what our current Internet footprint is. What is our presence, by what programmers, and what control does the station or the foundation have over that presence?
Okay.
All right.
Jim, does anyone else? Go ahead, Jim.
I hear what a lot of you guys are saying, and yes, I think that, you know, it's important to have a digital manager, but I personally think it's also important to get the show on the road. And here's where I'll speak to the creativity of the producers. You know, we have people in New York who actually work and have developed one of the best digital footprints of a major show on the BBC. So there's lots of talent, I know, in New York and elsewhere that can handle this. And I personally think that, it's sort of like I'm sort of advocating, you know, that a directive be sent, that all the shows have to start to show a footprint, and then let's see what they come up with. And it means that the composition of actual shows might have to be different. In other words, there are lots of young people, or people always complain about we're not getting young people in. Well, then young people can be attached to shows and then can develop digital footprints. And part of it is that, like, if a show's being broadcast, I know I've looked at industry studies that show that if somebody's interacting when they're live and they're using and they're bringing seeds in, it does tend to boost the amount of people listening. I mean, I've seen this, and in Europe, they're doing this. They have conferences in Europe where EU radio conferences occur where they're talking about using this. So I just think we just should have say that all the shows are required to start to use this kind of forms by March. All the points Maxie raised are valid ones, but I think there is a capacity in there that, you know, because you're sort of new, you may not know that there are a lot of people very savvy in using these things, and people doing things professionally in outside of the station that they're not necessarily deploying in the station. So I just think we should get this underway and see how it develops. And yes, start to get it more formalized in a year. But there's so many things we could do now, and we're not doing them. And we're way behind everyone else in the country, as far as I'm concerned. We're still back in the 20th century.
Maxie to the stat.
Okay, Maxie.
Yeah, Jim, my only issue, and I see this across our network, I don't doubt that there's immense talent in crevices and corners throughout our network. What I am worried about, and what I think I see more often than not, is we don't have structures. We don't have formal structures. And so what happens is we sort of get these laissez-faire approaches to governance, to programmatics, to all kinds of things. And inevitably, cracks start to form in the foundation because there's no structure put in place. And so when I say I think it's important that we require all the stations to hire digital media content producers, it's to support what you're saying here, but to do it in a way that's structured so that someone actually has accountability and responsibility to create the structure for our social media approach to our digital approach, so that it's not just random and arbitrary and, you know, formed by isolated folk who have skills when probably the bulk of us don't. I really want us to find, if we have, let's navigate our talent. If we've got folks in our camp who have these skill sets, they should want to work for the station and get paid if they have the capacity, or they can reference someone else. There's so many young people who bring immense intuitive, organic understanding of digital and social media that we could be employing at relatively modest salaries, but could add so much creativity and innovation to our shops. My issue is let's structure it. Let's make it a formal, structured approach and not just willy-nilly freeform. All right.
Well, I think that given the fact that we've been, this before you became ED, these kind of issues were being talked about for a couple of years, and we were coming up with resolutions in the Community Advisory Board about these kind of things in New York. And I'm positive that in the Bay Area, where there's, you know, they're near Silicon Valley, all the stations are in areas of the United States where there's a lot of knowledge and professional acumen, particularly among younger people, about these skills. So while I hear you on the issue of structure, I also see that it's worthwhile to get something going and then, you know, figure out a policy and a structure as we go along, because nothing like this is going on in a systematic way in the stations, nor is it being encouraged as policy to bring people in. For example, when you bring interns in, interns are coming in, they're all in their teens or early 20s, and they all have these skills, and they're in some cases being improperly employed when they're brought into the stations. They're being used to do for a better phrase of the word, shit work, and they're not being employed with the skills that they have from their programs in schools to apply digital skills to the shows. So I really think that this issue is something that I think I'd have to be stubborn about and want to call the question, because I hear what you're talking about in terms of modifying it and bringing other things in, but I really think we really have to get people in these shows thinking in ways to figure out creatively how to synthesize these new forms into analog radio. I really think we've got to push the process.
Okay, so you're calling the question.
I am.
Okay. So are there any objections to this motion as it
I'm sorry, can you state the motion? Can you state the motion once again, please?
It's the hybridization social media integration is how I termed it. Do you want me to read it?
No, it's not. Is there a time factor there? That's all I need to know. Is there an implementation date?
Yes,
March,
there is. March 2019.
We'll start to see the implementation. In other words, it could be like, look, we encourage all the shows to start experimenting with this. It's not like, I'm not saying like come in there with, you know, draconian policies. I'm just saying, look, by March 2019, why don't you guys start showing that you're starting to experiment with this? And then we evolve it from there. But the whole thing is to just give people a good kick in the behind to start doing it.
You weren't on the stack, but thank you. So do you want to make a motion to change that, or are we going to? So we'll just go for the vote. Are there any objections to this motion as it currently stands?
Eric has a slide.
Eric.
I mean, I just
okay.
I don't know how
no
I don't
problem.
Know how to go about doing this. I'll let you. And look, Catherine.
Okay.
Again.
So you object? That's fine. We'll take a vote.
No, you don't have to do that. I was just. I have an issue with the implementation date. That's all. I mean, I heard Jen said there's flexibility there, but I mean, we can make some effort to start. We can't do a mass cut over in Washington. We're just not able to do it.
Yeah, the capacity is not there.
Exactly.
So, okay, Jim, do you want to change the date, or should we just go to a vote?
Let's change it to June 2019. How's that?
Woohoo!
Okay, well, we'll live with that.
Okay.
You're asking for 100. Okay, I'm fine.
Yeah, June 2019 instead of March 2019. The main thing is, like, it's not to me. It's okay. Forget. Let's just continue.
Okay. Okay, so at this point, are there any objections to this motion?
Yes, this is Ken. I'm going to have to abstain.
Okay, pass with one abstention. Okay. Okay. Next is eight, collaboration with Journalism Broadcast School. We're down to a half an hour, just about. Would you like to take on that one?
All right. Whereas all the Pacifica stations, for a wide variety of reasons, have a direct to develop and reinforce existing programs and expand audiences, be it resolved, it will be the policy of Pacifica to have all the local...
You see scissors anywhere?
Please mute if you're talking.
To have all the local stations work with and cooperate with as many local journalism school and communications journalism programs in their signal areas as possible. And be it resolved, the goal will be to direct these alliances towards strengthening and creating new content and shows. The major use of interns and partnerships will be aimed at strengthening the air, not solely used for substituting for lack of office staff. The goal will be to provide as much practical help and advice as possible to make morning and afternoon drives all they can be. In particular, the demographics of use of audio by younger people need to be addressed by alliances with younger people in these programs who are acquiring new skills for content creation. And be it resolved that the use of students as unpaid labor for doing office functions must be substituted for unpaid volunteers who locally can be tapped to do this work. Partnerships with journalism schools and university college programs for broadcasting should be aimed at broadcasting reinforcement solely. Implementation of these initiatives shall begin in January 2019 and will be considered a measure of evaluating local management of the station, including the GM and TD and development director. These reports will be on a quarterly basis to the PNBED and PNB program committee. They will be considered open and transparent reports for the listener audience to see. Okay. Now, this has been going on indirectly in New York for several years. As I mentioned in one meeting, at one point when the morning show was suspended in New York because we lost all the paid staff, Berthold and I went up to Columbia Journalism School and persuaded somebody who was in charge of the radio program at the J School there to help us out. And unfortunately, for a variety of reasons, we couldn't implement that. So the point is that there's a lot of goodwill in the journalism schools to Pacifica and to WBAI in general, and particularly with the older faculty. And I think since we lack resources, and these guys at least have a lot more resources than we do, we could at least work with them and get students from them and deploy them, in particularly into the morning and afternoon slots, where in New York we're pretty weak. But I have a feeling this is repeated in other parts of the country, and essentially, you know, really try to increase our visibility and, you know, make it a friendly place to come work in. And the current use of interns, I think, has to change. They have to be used for broadcasting, not for basically filing and filling premiums. So that's the gist of this motion, to just basically have a better, more strategic and focused appreciation of the metro areas we're in and all the resources in the universities that we can tap on. It just is a sin that we don't do it.
Eric to the staff.
Okay. Eric?
To the staff.
Yeah. I'll let Maxie follow up in some capacity to this if he wants to. I can tell you in Washington, we're going to have issues with SAG and AFTRA on this. And as far as it has to be structured perfectly. I mean, the internships and the issues that will arise with SAG and AFTRA. And I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Maxie?
Yeah, Eric brings up a very significant point, and I think we have a couple of stations that would have conflict with the use of interns in the way that it's articulated. However, I want to support what Jim is putting forward here. Having worked at a university licensee, I completely am tethered to the notion that students and colleges and university programs can be vital resources to tap into. But I want to focus it in two specific areas. I think, number one, urban affairs studies programs, sociology programs, and things like that are vital for community engagement work. They often do research. They often have done demographic, psychographic research on the communities. And for us to tap into those university programs to partner for the work of doing research on the communities we want to serve, I think could be extremely useful. And I've seen that evidence. I've seen evidence of that work in the past. The other partnership at the university level is with the journalism program, but in a different way than I think what Jim is articulating to some degree. I don't believe in students being talent. I just fundamentally have a problem with that because I don't think Pacifica stations in the markets we're in should ever be amateur or less than professional outfits. That's my approach to content. That's number one. But even beyond that, I think the way we can use them, and I think this would jive with the unions, is if we looked at them as producer talent, not on-air talent, but producer talent. In other words, you could create an internship program where two or three interns are working on the morning show, and they are responsible for helping to produce content for the on-air presenters. They could be involved in booking guests. They could be involved in ways that I think support the program but don't come on the air as talent. And I think that's a vital training for the students. It's a great way to utilize students who need practical experience. And that would be my recommendation to this.
Well, to do this, you guys are going to need to take an interpreter to Gallaudet. But, you know,
who is this? Anissa?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Anissa. I didn't hear you.
To make sure you include all students, and especially the deaf community, as I say, you're going to have to take an interpreter when you go to Gallaudet. I'm pretty sure there's some deaf journalists out there.
Okay.
But, I mean, the stations themselves are also probably going to end up having to foot the bill for interpreters. So you guys might want to keep that in mind.
Yeah, I think we're required to follow any of those issues in any case for anyone, producers, hosts. We have to follow the law.
Yep.
You know, all the laws of access. Okay. So anyone else with a stack, or shall we go to a vote? Or do we want to adjust, make some adjustments to this motion? Any
Eric to the stack.
Yes, Eric.
Yeah, I'm not sure how it'll be done. It occurs to me an adjustment would kind of have to be made because we need to go into a collaborative effort with the schools, and some of them may not be amenable to that. It has to be. This is not something that could be done overnight. I mean, the kids are
right.
Obviously. I shouldn't say obviously. They if they're interns, they would need to get credit for doing what they're doing. But we'd have to work out an agreement with them. So, I mean, we wouldn't be able to impose this on them. It'd have to be, obviously, voluntary.
Maxie, take that.
That's it.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, Eric makes a great point. I think you have to look at a fall 2019 implementation with the notion that you're going to do some of the initial relationship building during the spring and summer. But clearly, you know, I think this is a fantastic idea that Jim's putting forward. The question to me is that I think we need to write in this motion that obviously there would be not only strategic partnerships and collaboration made with the universities, but also we'd have to make sure that we're defining the student relationship consistent with our unions where applicable.
All right. Jim, to the sec.
Go ahead. Jim.
Yeah, that's interesting. The union issue is interesting because I know that we have been unionized in different forms all the time I've ever been involved at BAI, and interns have come in and out of the station in terms of work. So I don't know, but that's an interesting question. I certainly would need to know more about it. Secondly, there has been, I work with Bertold. Bertold was completely familiar with me reaching out. We were in partnership going to the journalism schools in New York, City University Journalism School, NYU Journalism School, and Columbia Journalism School. And the point was to actually establish contents with the higher-ups in those entities and essentially lay the basis to trigger something. Now, obviously... So a lot of the groundwork has been done. A lot of the groundwork has been done and has to be further developed. And, yes, maybe the fall of 2019 is useful to do that. However, I can see that there are people already coming into the stations that are, frankly, not particularly utilized well. I certainly asked them what they're learning and what they're doing. And sometimes I've discovered that it's not what I would think would be necessary. That's my point of view. I do think, though, that yes, it does require work, but work has been done. Work already has been done to lay the groundwork. There are lots of programs that I'm familiar with in the city, which we have. I could call them up and say, hey, do you guys want to work with us? And they would say, yeah or nay. So it's not as the groundwork, at least in New York, has been done. The question is how to trigger it. And that's another question, you know.
Maxie,
and how would
Maxie and Tom.
I'll yield the time since I spoke.
Madam Chair, we have 15 minutes left.
Okay. Do we want to extend time on this item? Any objections to extending time on this item, which means that we will probably not finish the list? All right, hearing no objections. Maxie?
Okay. I just want to emphasize that internship programs are, for them to be effective, have to be highly structured. Because you're talking about assigning paid employees to work alongside volunteer students who come in two or three times a week at best, usually, for a few hours. If you don't have it really well structured and lubricated, if you will, the internship programs usually are not very productive. That's probably why you've witnessed that. So I wouldn't underestimate the need for it to be highly structured, for there to be responsibility towards administering it. And again, that's why I would say you really do need to look at the fall so that you can look at the individual stations developing plans of action with respect to utilizing students in the most effective and productive way.
Tom?
Yeah, I just wanted to point out that I'm aware of one example of this that existed for several years at KRFP in Moscow, Idaho, where they do a part of their news gathering and production with people from the school. And it's been going for a long time. It's written up in a process that we could probably, I think Lee there, the manager, would share that with us, and it would be a good basis for trying to put our own process together.
Okay. That sounds good. Would you make a commitment to get that for us?
Yeah, I'll talk with Lee about it.
Okay. And I'm putting myself on the stack. I think that this is an important motion, but to me it's very much in tune with the situation at WBAI, and I think that we need room for all of the stations to be able to negotiate it. So in that regard, I do think that it does need some structure. And I think that the interns that are going to be used in this process need to fall under the Department of Programming and not under the Department of Development. I think that's where the disconnect is happening in New York.
Right. All right. Well, why don't I communicate with everybody, incorporate comments, and then come back with a more finely tuned kind of proposal like this.
Okay, that sounds great. So we'll put that to the next on the agenda of the next meeting. Okay. We're up to
Well,
when
we all do this, don't forget about the Rochester Institute for Technology.
Well, thank you. That's
okay.
A good idea.
Okay.
Well, Tom could add another example also.
What's that?
Well, at the University of California in Berkeley, Lowell Bergman conducts that kind of training, which has been going on for a couple of years now since he left 2020, and I think he was with 60 Minutes for a long time. My understanding that his program is pretty highly structured, and we could probably glean some of that structure the way it's organized from Lowell. That's all I have to say.
Okay. Is there any objection to tabling this till the next meeting? Okay, without objection, we'll go on to the next one. Number 9, Nielsen ratings. Is that different than Kuhn's?
Yes.
Go ahead, Jim.
All right. Whereas the Pacifica Foundation needs to have all sorts of metrics to determine the reception of a program at every station concerning the actual audience that it actually has listening to its content, it is critical to emphasize that these are but one measurement to evaluate shows, and that process must be done creatively and keeping the Pacifica mission statement in mind. But Lou Hill himself made it clear that if a show does not receive support, it should not be continued. In addition, the CPB uses the Nielsen ratings to decide whether to defund or not fund stations through CPB funding. So it is important to get our audiences up, if not for that fact, but for also our general well-being. Be resolved that starting in January 2019, the Pacifica National Board will allocate resources for every station to have through the Radio Research Consortium current Nielsen ratings that concern the actual impact of the station in its particular metro area. Two stations already have access to this information, WBAI and WKPFK. Excuse me, that was an error in my typo.
Oh, KPFK?
Yeah, KPFK has it. Measures will be implemented to have this vital information supplied to local signatories at KPFT, PFW, and KPFK by March 2019. The progress in implementing these measures will be part of the evaluation process of the ED and used creatively needs to be part of the progress of measuring the local management teams of the station. Okay. Okay, I know Nielsen ratings are controversial. They're not the silver bullet. They have to be balanced by other considerations when one looks at a show. Maxie's outlined them. I could outline many. Tonality, radio form, creativity, that's a subjective one. How much money they raise, et cetera. However, it's to throw the baby out with the bathwater, which some people would want to do because the Nielsen ratings would be too embarrassing for them to look at. We're way past this. We have to really sit there and take a sober look at every single station area and every single hour we have to figure out a better way going forward. And the Nielsen ratings are one particular way to do this. It just is a metric. It has to be balanced with other metrics, and it also has to be a subjective process because evaluation, however, and it can't be objective. It's always subjective. But to not get this kind of information at this critical time, to me, is something that the National Board should simply spend money for to make sure that we have a objective assessment from the Nielsen ratings, and I say objective with quotes on it, of all the stations so we know where the hell we're at.
Okay, anyone for this, Doc?
Yes, Eric, please.
Maxie, who's that?
Okay, Eric.
I should probably let Maxie go first.
No, please don't. You got it. I should go last. I've spoken quite a bit.
I was wondering, I assume that was Jim that was speaking. My question
yes.
is, have we done any type of cost analysis on this? I mean, what, I would think that's a huge factor, but has there been a cost analysis, and what's the breakdown, if you could give it in 25 words or less or something?
Should I go now?
Who's that, Maxie?
Yeah,
go ahead.
Okay. I don't know this to be true or not, but I had heard that one of the reasons that we don't have Arbitron is that we have an outstanding debt with RRC, or we don't have Nielsen ratings. So we do need to, and I can do that. I can look into whether that's true. I do know that two of the stations subscribe, so maybe it is not true, but clearly I'm in support of what Jim is proposing here, that all stations should mandatorily subscribe, analyze, and report audience data quarterly to the LSBs and their staff, whether they be non-paid or paid. I think the knowing is instrumental to programming changes, whether it's removal of programs or just time shifting programs. Sometimes what audience measurement does is show you that you've got a show programmed in the wrong time slot. And that's as valuable as sometimes eliminating programs. So I'm in full support of this. The other thing I would say is that I would write into this motion that the fees be part of our construct in determining central service fees for the stations to the national office, so that we can absorb this cost but make sure that the stations are paying for it, because I don't think this is cheap.
No, it's okay.
But I think it's certainly worthy.
Oh, just got there, Johnny. Oh, no.
It's just
I had Johnny.
Oh, please mute. Please mute.
Wireless ones. He didn't get it. The work gave it to him for free.
Ken, please mute. So. Mute if you're not speaking.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Madam Chair, we have 5 minutes remaining.
Point of information to Maxie. Do you know how much these things cost a month? Is it a couple thousand bucks a month for different levels of service?
Yeah, I don't know that answer off the top of my head. It's been a long time since I've had to purchase them. I really don't know the estimate, but
right.
I think we should be as a collective. We should probably be able to work out a group buy if we're not already in debt to them. But if our balance is clear and we're free of any kind of existing debt, I would like to think we could negotiate some kind of arrangement with them to do a group buy and reduce the cost.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I'll certainly look into that. I'll do the due diligence on that.
Tom, Kershaw.
Okay. Okay, we're just about out of time. So, is there any objection to extending for 10 minutes to finish this item? Okay, hearing no objection, first Ken and then Tom. Ken?
Hi, are we talking about the Arbitrons?
Yeah.
Yes, we are.
Are we still talking about it? Great idea, should have it. The only consideration I have is I agree with Maxie. It should be incorporated. We should be taking advantage of aggregation of functionality. And I would hope that there might even be a way to get all of the analysis and evaluation or the analysis done at a central place instead of, like, jobbing it out to each of the stations. Each of the stations are on personal burdens and they're likely to overlook this. But this is like checking your blood sugar. So if it was done at the foundation level, at central services level, and then every station got a report from central services after we chewed on it and, you know, interpreted the graphs the way we felt was relevant, then send the reports out to the stations, we'd know it would get done. And management would already know because national management already know because they generated the data and then they distributed it to the stations. Because this is just data. This is information. So I think we could benefit by aggregating it to national. In any event, I totally support the concept of mandatory Arbitron being acquired.
Okay, so we have
now called Nielsen.
Okay, Tom and then Maxie. Yeah, Tom and then Maxie.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that. At one point, I seem to remember that NFCB had a group buy for this type of evaluation material. I don't know if that still exists or not. Maxie was once there at NFCB. Maybe he can refresh our memory on that.
Yeah, I don't recall a group buy with RRC when I was there. It may have happened before or after, but I don't recall doing that because I don't think that's something we as a membership organization, let me put it this way, we might have arranged for the group buy, but we certainly didn't collect the data, which is a good transition to my response to, I think, Ken's comments. I think if we're really serious about developing a high level of professionalism at our stations, it's crucial that our program directors at the local stations be intimately involved in the analysis, the use of, and the communication of the data, the ratings, the Nielsen data. This is something that you can be trained on so that you can develop an expertise on how to read the ratings and to use them to affect change in programming And I just think it's crucial that that be done at the local level. There can certainly be reports done at the local level that filter up. But I think, as I said earlier, that the PD should be in charge of this area. They should be reporting this out not only to the GMs, but the LSBs, the staff, and producing quarterly reports that would funnel up to the national so that we have a broader snapshot of how the organization as a whole is doing. This would certainly come into play if we ever entertained underwriting, but I know that's a sore spot for a lot of folks, so I didn't say it. Someone else did. But that's in the end, I really want to push back on the notion that this be done at the national level. Programming is an intimate skill set that should be developed at our local stations with the PDs, in my opinion.
Right.
Okay.
Jim, just back quickly.
Okay, Jim.
Yeah, I just want to point out that when I, many, many years ago, we didn't hide these Arbitron numbers from the producers. They were made available to the producers, and they would be actually shown on a bulletin board at 505 8th Avenue. I personally do not think that people should not shy from seeing this data, and if they disagree with it, they should disagree with it. It's very legitimate to do that. But I call the question.
Okay. Are there any objections to this motion on Arbitrons?
I'm not voting, but my only point of information, I guess that's how I should phrase it, or maybe my only statement around this, if I may, is that I really think this should be funded by the stations through central services. And I think that's important to articulate because I think we get to a habit of putting a whole lot of burden on the national office to cover costs for things. And if we don't articulate it as being part of central services, I don't think it can be included unless it's voted on by PNB. So I just wanted to articulate that.
Okay, so Jim, do you have any objection to adding being funded by central services to your motion?
No, not at all, but I do want to vote on this.
No, I understand. Allocate the resources. I'm going to put it there. Starting in January 2019, the Pacifica National Board will allocate resources, funded through central services, for every station. Okay? So are there any objections to this motion? Okay, hearing none, it has passed without objection with that change. And we are too far out of time to start the next one, I do believe. So I'm going to, with the next meeting, we will have those motions that we're bringing back first and then continue on from number 10. Podcasting policy onwards. So are there any last comments before adjournment?
Happy New Year, guys.
Yeah, Happy New Year. I just want to applaud Madam Chair for getting us through so much of this agenda and for Jim.
Thank you.
To Jim for coming up with such an exhaustive but very productive roster of things for us to consider. And I thought it was a great discussion.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you all, and have a beautiful New Year.
Take care.
Meeting is adjourned.
Adios. Adios.
Adios.
Take care, bye.
Buenas noches.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you for being here.